betrayed, yet bound to the billionaire by Grace Madeline. Chapter 11. Don't worry about it. Odalie said, her tone light and carefree. It's just a variety show. Not like I'm gonna lose a chunk, officer. I besides, it's on a deserted island, might as well treat it like a vacation. Yule, she grabbed her medicine box and, without a second thought, turned and gracefully headed upstairs. Percival stood still, watching her retreating figure. He didn't look away for a long while before finally bearing his gaze of her and thoughts. Just then, Callum approached, holding an etad. He stepped forward respectfully and spoke up. Mr. Stewart, I've handled everything with DAR projects Henry's been working on. He 11 large drowning in work for the next find a shul, so popon to verari about him mm. Percival muttered a low acknowledgement, barely paying attention as he checked his watch. It was around the time the poison usually started to art up. Hut, to his surprise, Turnwo frowned, held his breath for a moment, then walked toward the garden. Callum quickly fell into step behind him. Any new findings? Percival asked, his voice soft but laced with impatience. Callum immediately responded, yes, I looked into it. Odalis was bought back to Crown Ridge by the Bennett family, so in Nanthu Apo before that she'd never been here. After Guang missing, she was taken in Hiyaman. She never left the Incontain until she came back in the Dicarat family. From the investigation, it seemed that Odalis had no connection to the Polson that had been affecting him and her. But somehow, she had instantly recognized it and even managed to help him control its effects. Is it just a stroke of medical genius, or is there more to the story? Percival wondered. Callum hesitated before asking. Do you want N.I. at night to keep Degan? Considering Odalis was now married into the Stewart family, even if they hadn't officially tied the knot yet, things were already complicated. In found out he was investigating her past, things could go south real fast. No need, Percival said, his voice colder than ice. If it's fair, then life, I'll accept it. But whoever Spellendid is, whoever dared to mess with my family, trust me, I'll find them and make them regret it. Till take care of it before I die. Understood, Callum replied quietly, his tone matching the weight of Percival's. Percival was a genius, had graduated with two PhDs by 15, took over the Stewart family at 16, and had led it to become a global power line by 20, he was the world's richest man. Now, at 28, he was at the top of the game, controlling everything. But despite all his brains and power, someone managed to poison him. Someone was clearly out to get him. Callum, still unsure, finally spoke up after a long pause. Mr. Stewart, what if the Bennett family catches wind of what we're doing? What if they think we're turning against them? Could it cause problems with Mr. Evander Stewart? Percival stopped walking and slowly turned to face Callum, his eyes sharp and unreadable, as if he could see straight through him. Sia man, this agree, my grandfather suggested this marriage. The Bennett family took full advantage, demanding a $1 billion project in exchange. Now, they change their minds and send me an unimportant daughter instead. Do they really think the Stewart family is weak? Or do they think Odalis will come in marry me, and newer leave alive? His ER was low, yet or yet filled with dibban. Whatever game the Bennett family is playing, Odalis is now part of the Stewart family. Whether I live or die, Whiteriller, she can fix any condition or not, I'll be damned if I let anyone, especially the Romans, bully anyone in my family. I won't let that happen. Percival's words were fiddle, ratch one cutting through the air like a blade. The Stewarts were known for protecting their own, and Percival was no different. It looks like the Bennett family miscalculated, Kalyam said Rygrin, his voice almost amused. As for the marriage arrangement, the Bennets had assumed that by sending Odalis to the Stewarts, the family world swallow their pride and over one half chapter 11 mention it again. After all, when the marriage was first set up, there had been no stipulation that the bride had to be someone from the Bennett family. Odalis was their flesh and blood, so they felt they had leverage. With that, they'd become bolder, pushing their luck and assuming they could get away with whatever they wanted. They thought that no matter how much trouble Odalie Stone caused, the Stuarts would never stand up for her. They were wrong. Upstairs in the bedroom, Odalise was fully focused on mixing the herbs. As the night crept in, the room was slowly swallowed by darkness. Ugh. She let out a soft groan, rubbing her stiff neck. She tried to get up from the carpet, but after sitting in the same position for so long, her legs were completely numb. She wobbled, then fell back down. With a sigh, she just gave in and lay flat, letting the calming herbal scent ease her restless thoughts. Glancing at her phone, she saw 3 missed calls from Henry. Odalise didn't bother calling back. Instead, she opened her contacts, only to be struck by the realization she didn't have a single friend in this bustling city of Crown Ridge. Odalie Stone, you're such an idiot, she thought to herself with a bitter laugh, recalling how she'd bent over backward to please everyone in the Benen family just for a bit of family affection while neglecting herself completely. Now she was stuck in this mess. 7 months had gone by in a blink, and she hadn't made a single friend. Tant that a complete failure? She wondered. Her phone vibrated, breaking her out of her thoughts. She glanced at the screen and immediately heard decline. New York calls. Call me back, now. Finian's message popped up right after. Why aren't you answering my? A wave of irritation washed over Odalise. When he saw she hadn't responded, he sent another message, pick up. We need to talk. She rubbed her temples, then glanced at the incoming call again. Without hesitation, she blocked the number. The messages kept coming, but she didn't even look at them. A soft but insistent knock at the door. Odalise turned her head and, with a sigh, got up from the carpet. She grabbed the medicine pouch and walked over to the door. When she opened it, Dorian was standing there, looking as respectful as ever. Mrs. Stuart, dinner is ready, he said, his tone polite and subdued. Odalise inhaled the smell of the food and looked past him to see a table full of delicious dishes set up in the side hall. Mr. Stuart told me not to disturb you, but since it's already 7, I figured you might be hungry, so I went ahead and brought the food up. Would you like to eat now? Dorian's voice was quiet but respectful, alinost deferential. Odalise was a bit taken aback. In the Stuart mansion, whether it was the butler or the staff, everyone treated her with politeness, never once looking down on her despite the whole marriage of convenience situation. All right, I'm starving anyway, she said, her voice soft. She handed the medicine pouch to Dorian. This is the medicine I've prepared. Make sure Percival soaks it for half an hour before bed every night. If he forgets, the toxins in his body will rebound. The suppressed poison will come back even stronger, and it could kill him, she said, her tone suddenly serious. Doman's face changed instantly. He grabbed the medicine pouch like it was precious, looking worried. Mrs. Stuart, what should we do if the poison flares up unexpectedly? He asked, his voice anxious as he followed her inside, clearly on edge. Chapter 12. Earlier that morning, Dorian had witnessed her single-handedly stop the poison from spreading in Percival's body. In that moment, he realized Odalise was no ordinary woman. She had some serious skills. As long as he listens and takes the herbal baths every night, there won't be any problems, she said softly, her voice calm but one sure. When she stepped into the dining room, the sight of the lavish spread took her by surprise. The slow-cooked pork ribs were so tender they practically fell off the bone, the spicy crab smelled absolutely mouth-watering, the garlic butter lobster glistened like it came straight out of a food magazine. In the 7 months she had been back at the Bennett family estate, most of her meals had been leftover scraps. She often came home late to find the family had already eaten. It hadn't bothered her in the mountains, but seeing a meal like this now made her feel conflicted. The emotions swirling in her chest. Is everything all right, Mrs. Stuart? Not to your liking. Or are you allergic to seafood? I can remove it and prepare something else, Dorian asked, noticing her staring at the food. No, it's perfect, Odalie said quickly, placing a reassuring hand on his arm. These are all my favorites. I was just lost in thought, Dorian relaxed, sighing in relief. He ladled soup into her bowl and handed her a pair of chopsticks, his voice full of concern. Good to hear. If you ever have any preferences or restrictions, feel free to let me know. Thanks, she replied softly. Dorian stepped back, allowing her to eat in peace. She finished the meal alone, the servants quickly clearing the dishes afterward. She stood by the window, lost in her thoughts for a moment, before grabbing her purse and heading out. After finishing her errands, she wandered down the busy, neon-lit streets, her mind heavy with thoughts. Odalys, a voice suddenly called out behind her. And turned to see Finian standing there, breathing before she could react, a hand grabbed her arm with surprising force. She winced in pain and heavily, his eyes locked on her with a sharp, intense gaze. Let go, she said coldly, pulling away. Finian's lips tightened into a thin line, his handsome face twisted in anger. When she tried to free herself, instead of letting go, he just tightened his grip, trying to force her into submission. But Odalys wasn't having it. With a swift motion, she wrenched her arm free and pushed him away effortlessly. She turned to face him, her eyes as cold as ice, sending a chill down his spine. He frowned, confused and rattled by her sudden shift. When did she started looking at me like that, he wondered. How long are you going to drag this out? You blocked my number. Trying to get my attention, huh? Let me tell you something, this playing hard to get crap doesn't work on me, Finian's voice was low, but there was an edge to it. With a sharp slap, Odalie silenced him. The sound echoed through the street, leaving him standing there in shock, his cheek stinging from the impact. He stared at her, unable to believe what had just happened. A smirk curled at the corner of her lips as she sized him up. What, did your mom forget to give you a decent face, or are you just that obsessed with controlling me with all your manipulative bullshit? You think you can lecture me? Just because you're a bastard from the Lark family? Odalys' words hit him like a slap, each one cutting deeper than the last. Finian's lips trembled, his fury rising up like a tidal wave. He couldn't believe she was using his illegitimate status to attack him. But what hurt even more was the way she suddenly turned on him. So defiant now. All I asked was for her to take her sister's place, had always been so compliant before, so he couldn't figure out why she was being so d. What the hell is her problem, he thought. Typhanian hissed, fury practically radiating off him. You wanna talk to me like that? Then don't even think about coming crawling back when you change your mind. I won't have anything to do with you, not now, not ever. Just as he was about to turn and walk away, Odalie suddenly grabbed his arm. He jerked to pull away, but she tightened her grip, her fingers digging. Finian Lark shoot her a look of disdain. I told you already. There's no chance in hell we're getting back together, Finman, she snapped, her voice icy, her anger rising. You sneak into my life in the middle of the night to harass me, think you ran chapter 12, just waltz off like nothing happened. Her words rang out loud and clear, and Finian's heart skipped a beat. Had gone to great lengths to stay low, hat pulled down low, mask covering his face, hoping no one would recognize him. But now, she was practically shouting at the top of her lungs in front of everyone. He tried to pull away, but it was like trying to break free from a vice grip. Pedestrians stopped, eyes shifting their way. Curiosity lit up the crowd. Let go of me. Now. Finian growled, panic creeping into his voice. If anyone figured out who he was, his entire career, his reputation would be ruined. You better explain yourself right now, Odalys demanded, her voice rising in fury. What do you mean, agree to what you said? You want me to be your girlfriend? I'm so done with your obsessive bullshit. Someone help me. Call the cops, Odalys screamed, her voice deliberate and low enough to make her sound like a victim with the mask and sunglasses. No one could tell who she was, but as soon as she yelled, the crowd started to gather. Everyone wouldn't want to watch a creepy guy harass a woman at midnight. This is harassment. One woman shouted. Ugh, this guy's a total creep, another muttered. Some women started whispering and pointing at him. Odile saw the crowd's reaction and, with a sudden move, let go of his arm. Just as Finian thought had escaped, she slapped her hand behind his head, knocking his hat off and yanking the mask off his face. Finian froze, staring at her in shock. The smirk on her face made his blood boil. He couldn't believe it had come here to talk to her, and now she was trying to destroy him. Had never imagined she would go this far just to ruin him. In a blind panic, Finian grabbed his face and turned to run. But just a few steps later, a woman asshole the ice cream slid down his hair, and Finian could feel his blood pressure rising. He was losing through an ice cream cone at his head, shouting. Even though he was an illegitimate son, had always been a fan favorite. But now, Odalis had made him into a total joke like a rat scurrying through the street. Furious, he covered his face and bolted, his steps fast and frantic. The more he thought about it, the angrier he got. By the time he reached his car, he glanced around, but Odalis was gone. Shed played him drew all the attention to herself so she could slip away without anyone noticing. Realizing this, Finian clenched his fists and grinned his teeth. Odile Stone, you conniving bitch. You've always liked me, haven't you? If you can't have me, you'll destroy me instead? Well, not on your life. He was fuming, every inch of him seething. He slammed his fist onto the seat, his phone suddenly rang. He glanced at the screen, and for a moment, his anger softened just a bit. Sophia, Finian muttered, his voice flat but trying to sound less tense. On the other end of the line, Sophia's voice was shaky, clearly upset. Finian, where are you? Why haven't you been answering? Is it because I asked my sister to marry in my place? Are you mad at me? Finian froze Z, quickly checking phone. Two missed calls from Sophia. Had been too busy dodging angry pedestrians to notice. What's there to be mad about? He replied, forcing a calm tone. It was only fair that she filled in for you. And anyway, it's just for a month. Once that guy's gone, she'll be back at the Bennett family. It's no big deal. Chapter 13. Elsa's is just bored making a NEA memane out of a node bill. It has mailing trade with you, so stop storing Falirali gave Lace a good talking to and Finn Sophia Bewley seek sedarying after be playful about texting WWU you were the beat the said her India human belly a wave of warmth wash meet him at her words. His cutter ain't any ants fine to get you. We've got that variety show recording TORANTI, to taunt. Alright, enough with the drama doubt let, okay? Moi, you're right. You hanging up now? Sophia replied quickly, not waiting for a response before cruding the call. Natong BA has car, Finkus lenched his plone, his Merle replaying Alalia's cold, dismissive stare. His incitation fared again, and Burslepend his she estafamely playing some intud game. That whole cold act was just a finai. Olavant even made a Finn's Abagar Burjanet marriage, or why the lat shoes she think, she can look shown on me, the bust and? Finian motored under his barath, feeling a bit better as he done Sal means bued, Osla is had posedly dipped away in the chaos. Wan Hong ched with objects, she felt a dark satisfaction stirring inside her. She flagged down a taxi, hopped in, and gazed out at the night through the window. Her almond-shaped eyes narrowed as she muttered, Wu banking sancting, and he husks me this fast. What the hell? A flash of suspicion crossed her uniest. She wasn't sure, in it she key KLY typed a string numbers into her plan. Hadn't expected IA red exclamation mark popped up on the screen, and in seeds, she found the apps. Her eyes narrowed oddly, Bleha have installed NA King software on her phone. Heh, she clocked Tindy, thinking back to when he had lunatoed her pilotney to make she'd been distracted and handed it Sir without a second thought. But now, she realized that was probably when Har slipped in the tracking lending someone her phone wasn't a big sleal, she never thought to look for anything suspicions. Way to think that Pin and Die top actor would pull such a shady more at first, she thought about uninstalling the tracking app, but Tiana Thong look rode her mind. Instead of hentaying rid of Todd, she decided to turn the tables. She hacked into his plone, injecting a virus taco the WhatsApp chat on her screen, her linger hovering as she opened it. Everything from it. She stared at right then, a message from Sophia popped up. Odalise opened the chat and scrolled up, her eyes widening as she read through their flirty messages. Her domic turned. So. Sophia's been playing me all this time at setting up situations so Finian to thinks Tim crazy about him. Even telling him behind my back that I secretly like hins, Odalise whispered, her mind reeling as she scrolled. For so long. Sophia had been whispering in her ear about how Finland was into her. And then, in front of Florian, Odalise had confessed her turlings pie. Sophia had been double-crossing her, making Odalise think there was a real chance between her and Punian, while Punian just saw Odalise as some pathetic, nerdy girl. Tut to be fair, Odalise had felt a little something for Finian at first. This mess was one of the reasons she had ended up in a toxic relationship and developed depression. With a sharp exhale, Odalise quickly took screenshots of Il's conversation and saved Il Gem to the cloud and her email. When she finished, the cab pulled up outside the Stewart mansion. She grabbed her bags, heeled inside, and immediately noticed two perfectly arranged pastries and a steaming cup of milk sitting on the Odalise stared at the little scene, her emotions a whirlwind of confusion. She carefully picked up the milk, sniffed it to check for anything weird just as she was about to take a sips, there came a sudden knock at the door. When it? Odalise quickly set her glass down and jumped to her feet to answer. NG flustered. The moment he UW her, it clike had just seen a lifeline. His face lit up with relief. Mr. Stewart, your chapter 13 hacked MS. Stewart he just took a medicinal bath, and then started vomiting check on him without missing a beat, Sidalas rushed out of the room. She glanced around, and with no hesitation, she pushed open Percival's door. Dorian hurried after her. Without a second thought, she strode right MRS. Stewart Dorian called, trying to catch up but before he could say anything else, Callan stepped in front of him, covering his mouth and yanking him out of the mom. Oh, come on, you've been calling her MRS. Stewart this whole time, why the hell does it matter if she goes in the bathroom? Oh right Dorian Blinkroll, as if waking up from a daze. Family home today. She it suddenly hit him. The wedding gifts had already been delivered earlier, and Catalise had officially entered the Stewart family H was, in fact, the young mistress now, whether or not there had been a formal ceremony, inside the bathroom, steam curled through the air, making everything feel dreamy and blurry. Odalise stepped in, her gaze landing immediately on the tall figure sitting in the bathtub. His broad back was perfectly sculpted, and his muscular arms rested casually on the in-law's edge. She walked closer and lightly placed her hand on his neck. Who's there? Percival's Linar's voice rasped, and before she could react, his hand shot out to grab her wrist. Odalise felt his grip tighten on her wrist. He yanked her forward, and she had to quickly plant her other hand on the side of the rubs to steady. She flied her head slightly, her hair cascading around her shoulder, and met his gaze. They locked eyes for a moment. Percival froze. Seeing her wrist turning red from his tight grip, B immediately let go and grabbed a towel to wrap. What the hell are you doing here? He frowned, eyeing her warily. An IRY aura radiated off him, and his dominant presence made the air thick and beavy. It was the kind of posture that made people feel small. But Chalice didn't seem fazed at all. The butler said you were vomiting blood, so I came to check, she said, her tone cool and unaffected. Her fingers hindbird the side of his neck as she checked his pulse. Then, she gently wiped the blood from the corner of his lips, rubbing it between her fingers. "You've been taking all these meds for years," she continued, her voice low. "A lot of that stuff builds up inside your body, leaving toxins in your blood. You know what they say, every medicine has a bit of poison. If you take too much, it'll mess you up. After that medicinal bath, all the toxins in your body are mixing together, so vomiting blood is pretty normal. But starting today, no more medicine. Don't even bother. It won't help," she said matter-of-factly. And up a few pieces to examine, she stood in front of the tub, peering down at the herbs floating in the water. With one delicate finger, she scooped up of them. Percival stayed frozen in the tub, his body tense. His eyes followed her fingers as they traced through the water, and every so often, he glanced down at the herbs in the tub, his Adam's apple bobbing slightly as he swallowed. His fingers dug into the edge of the tub with enough force to turn his knuckles white. After a long pause, he grumbled, "Got it?" "Don't worry," Odalie said softly. "I told you I'd make sure you don't die in a month. I'm good for it." Suddenly, she placed a hand on his shoulder. Her fingers glided gently over his shoulder and then trailed down to his throat, slowly moving downward over his chest. Percival's tarot tightened again, and his eyes flashed with a mix of emotions. His body stayed stiff, leaning against the tub, his gaze fixed on her fingers as they traveled down his body. The sensation of her touch felt like a warm current, spreading through him, and a strange electricity surged her once tight body, coiled and tense, finally began to relax under her touch. It was unfamiliar, a little unnerving even, but it felt fucking good. Chapter 14. Over the years, the constant pain had been like a relentless torturer, pushing Percival closer and closer to the edge of breaking down. If it weren't for his iron will and the meager support of medications, he'd probably already be hanging by a thread. Forget surviving, he wouldn't even have made it this far. And yet, now, for the first time in a long while, he felt a wave of relief, both physical and mental, washing over him like he was being reborn. It was as though the toxins inside him were quietly dissolving, his body and mind both rejuvenated in a way he'd never felt before. "All set," Odalie said softly, pulling her hand back, turning, and walking over to the sink to wash her hands carefully. After a moment, she faced him again, her stance now more commanding as she sized him up. Her eyes locked with his dark, intense ones. But her gaze slipped, falling onto his bare torso. His strong abs and V-line were obvious now, with only a towel barely covering the lower half of his body. Odalie froze for a second, her face flushing bright red. She quickly turned her gaze away, realizing the thick, charged atmosphere in the room. She turned toward the door, her steps a little rushed, not quite as graceful as usual. "It's getting late, and I have to record a variety show tomorrow morning," she said, her voice low. "I'll head back to my room to sleep." Just as she reached the door, "Percival," Al Stewart's gravelly voice cut through the air, stopping her dead in her tracks. "Wait. Huh?" She turned back, her brow furrowing in confusion. Percival glanced at her briefly, then shifted his gaze to the coffee table across the room. "Dorian opened a safe at the bank this afternoon," he said in a quiet, serious tone. "Your wedding gifts are in there. The key and your ID are on the table," he added, his voice rasping a little. P. Odalie followed his gaze and saw her ID and a key on the table. She quickly walked over and grabbed the ID. "Take the key too," Percival said without looking at her, almost like he knew she'd forget it. "It's yours," Odalie hesitated. She never planned on keeping the gifts. She didn't want them, she just didn't want the Bennett family getting their hands on them in a month. If Percival made Le it through, she'd sit down and talk with him about ending this arrangement. She'd return everything to him then, all right. Without saying much more, She grabbed the key and made her way to the door. Inside the bathroom, Percival's eyes lowered to the marks on his neck and chest. The impressions left by her fingers were still visible. He couldn't help but feel the strange, almost electric sensation. "So this is acupressure?" he murmured to himself, his voice low and hoarse. He hadn't expected acupressure to actually do this to help with toxins. Of all things, Odalise wasn't at all what he'd imagined. He thought she was just some pawn sent by the Bennett family to get close to the Stewart fortune. But she'd kept her distance, treated him with cool professionalism, and never once flinched around him. "Interesting," he muttered, wiping the blood from his lips, pulling on his bathrobe, and stepping out of the tub. As soon as he walked out, Lengzimo arrived in a hurry, his eyes locking on Percival's neck as he caught sight of him. He quickly approached, excitement written all over his face. "Damn, let me see that," Onsen said with a grin, practically rushing over to Percival. He yanked at the bathrobe, revealing the claw marks on his chest that connected to those on his neck. "No way. You've gotta be kidding me," Orson exclaimed, his hands shaking with excitement. Percival grabbed his hand, pulling it away as he tightened his robe and shot Orson a sharp look. "So, this is acupressure?" Asterisk hell yeah. "I'm freaking amazed. You start from the chest to suppress the toxins, then move down to the neck. This is genius. Where's your wife?" "I need to meet her right now," Orson said, practically bouncing on his heels, eager to run off and find Odalise. Just as he was about to turn around and leave, Callum suddenly stepped in front of him, blocking his path. "Mr. Lark," Callum said, his voice low but serious, "you just said it yourself, she's Mrs. Stewart. Don't you think it's a little off to go looking for another man's wife at this hour?" One half chapter 14. Orson froze. He quickly raised his hands in surrender, nodding. Yeah, you're right, not the best timing. I'll talk to him tomorrow. But, could you have a word with her for me? See if she'll teach me a few things." Onsen was obsessed with medicine. Coming from a long line of doctors, he couldn't resist the chance to learn new techniques, especially one as promising as this. There was no way he was letting it slip away. "She's not available right now," Percival's deep, gravelly voice interjected, shutting him down cold. That was like a bucket of ice water over Orson's head. He opened his mouth, trying to think of something to say, but no words came out. Before he could react, Callum slapped a hand over his mouth and yanked him out of the room. Once Orson was gone, Dorian stepped in, speaking in a low voice. "Sir, when Mrs. Stewart went out earlier, the driver saw her stop by a pharmacy. But after that, she got tangled up with someone." Percival's eyes narrowed slightly. He looked up at Dorian, his expression unreadable. "Tangled up with someone?" he asked, his voice rough, with just a hint of suspicion. "Was someone harassing her? Or did she run into some creep?" he wondered. "Well, it seems like—" Dorian hesitated, lowering his voice even further, and gave a detailed report of what had happened. He handed over an iPad with a video of the whole encounter. Percival watched the footage, his gaze hardening when he saw the guy's face, heard Odalise's words. His eyes grew colder than ever. "Sir, should we take care of this?" Dorian asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Percival handed the iPad back, picked up his phone, and paused for a long moment. When he spoke again, his voice was deep and calm, though the tension in the room was palpable. "No need. She can handle it herself," he added, with a deliberate pause, "and from now on, tell the driver to stop tailing her. She's from the Bennett family, not some dumb commodity VE bot. This whole marriage thing was my grandfather's idea. She's part of the Stewart family now, and she gets treated with respect. She's got her own life. Let her live it and make sure she gets everything she needs top tier, No exceptions. When she comes back, arrange for her to have her own car. Dorian blinked in surprise. This was the first time Percival had given orders like this, something more personal, not business related. He nodded quickly, impressed by the shift.
Understood, sir, Dorian said quietly, howling as he left the room with the iPad.
Meanwhile, in the next room, Odalise had returned to her space. She grabbed a couple of pastries, washed up, and then settled down to rest. Surprisingly, she didn't feel restless despite being in a new place. In fact, she drifted off to sleep almost instantly. When her alarm went off, she urged lazily, got ready, and slipped into a loose black t-shirt and high-waisted pants. She tied her hair up in a ponytail, grabbed her bag and a small suitcase, and quickly made her way downstairs. The house was eerily quiet, the servants moving about like shadows. Odalise walked quickly, ordering a ride on her phone as she headed toward the door. Mr.
Stuan, Dorian called, stepping forward as he saw her in a hurry.
Chapter 16. As soon as the man finished speaking, the fans went absolutely wild, their cheers echoing around them.
Oh my god, it's Atlas Bennett, he's seriously such a fanboy.
I might just stamp shipping them, Sophia is so lucky she's got her big bro spoiling her. And then there's Finlan looking out for her.
Honestly, what more could a girl ask for?
Right? Bring a rich, pampered heiress is the dream.
I'm so jealous, another fan piped up, their faces lighting up with excitement.
Hearing the adoration, Atlas cast a quick, scathing look toward Odalise. The way he acted earlier, it was clear he did it for her to see. He expected to see anger, maybe even a bit of sadness in her eyes, but nope, she was absorbed in her phone, she didn't even spare him a glance. His jaw clenched, his muscles tensing with frustration. If it weren't for the crowd, he'd have marched right over and confronted her.
Sorry I'm late, a bright, cheerful voice cut through the air.
A woman wearing sunglasses, cargo pants, and a basic t-shirt walked over, and with a flick of her wrist, she took off the shades, revealing a stunning face.
Let's give a huge welcome to Freya Winslow, the host's voice was practically shaking with excitement as he rushed to greet her.
Freya gave the host a quick hug, and right behind her, a man walked up.
Seeing the host hug Freya, the man just shook his hand.
Guess the girls get all the love.
No hugs for us guys, he joked with a playful smirk.
The boo laughed, a little flustered.
You're Stellan Drake, the hottest actor in the game right now.
I don't deserve a hug from you.
The fans cracked up at the exchange.
Freya pushed her suitcase closer and paused to scan the crowd. Her eyes locked onto Odalise, and without hesitation, she walked over and plopped down next to her.
Stellan followed right behind and took the seat on her other side.
Odalise had hoped to just sit quietly and blend in, but with two of the biggest stars in the room on either side of her, she became the center of attention. The cameras immediately zoomed in on them, focusing on their trin.
Hey, Freya, Ya said softly, leaning in closer.
Looks like we're gonna be tossed on an island to survive.
Guess we'll have to stick together, huh?
Same here.
Stellan added in a low voice.
First time for me on an island too, Odalise chuckled and smiled, enjoying the easy conversation.
Me too.
I'm actually looking forward to IL. Meanwhile, Sophia, sitting off to the side, was seething.
She had chosen her outfit carefully, a plunging V-neck dress, hoping to grab the spotlight, but Freya completely stole her thunder.
They had always been rivals, but now, after Freya's massive success with a hit historical drama, the tension had reached a whole new level.
Sophia had fought hard for the lead role in that drama, only for Freya to swoop in and take it.
As soon as the show aired, Freya's career exploded, while Sophia found herself stuck, unable to move forward.
Alas, how dare she team up with Freya Winslow to shut me out?
I'm her sister.
Sophia hissed, her voice dripping with venom.
Her eyes were burning with rage.
She never thought they'd be ignored like this.
She had carefully styled her look, her custom-made dress, designed to show off her curves, but it hadn't made any impact at all. It was like she wasn't even there.
Chill, it's not even the island yet, Atlas said, trying to calm her down.
He gave her hand a light, reassuring pat.
Once we're on that island, anything can happen. His words barely seemed to sink in.
Finian didn't speak, his eyes locked onto Odalise with an intensity that could almost bum through steel. He hadn't known Odalise was so close to Freya and Stellan.
Why did I never pick up on that? He wondered.
It left a knot of confusion and unease in Tim. So sorry, the traffic was insane.
I'm really late, my bad.
A girl rushed in, dragging her suitcase behind her, panting heavily. Sweat was dripping down her face, and it was obvious she'd been in a mad scramble to get here. Right behind her was a guy, C. Leroux and Lucien Pears, the hot new duo. Their songs had been killing it lately, and now they were diving into acting too. They'd come for a variety show, hoping to up their profile and snag some top-tier gig. One half, two halves, 245 PU chapter in. Looks like all our guests are here, the host said, holding a microphone and announcing it to the crowd. Sela and Lucien scanned the area, and spotted two empty spots in the center, clearly the prime seats. After a brief hesitation, they made their way over and sat down. Lucien chose the seat next to Finian, while Sela settled in next to Freya.
All right, let me quickly run through the rules for the show, the host said.
For the island challenge, we won't be taking your phones, but the signal will be blocked. You'll only be able to communicate with each other while you're on the island. We'll be live streaming everything, and the crew, including Kenny, our director, will be shadowing you guys throughout. Now, check your bags, no food allowed, but you can bring any essential medications, SE gear for you to choose from, ropes, knives, machetes, axes, stun guns, water guns, pepper spray, and shovels.
Oh, and we've got some self-defense gear, pick one.
As soon as the host finished, staff pushed the equipment forward.
Three, take the stun gun.
Sophia shot up, grabbing the stun gun like someone was gonna steal it from her.
Atlas squinted, stood up, and said.
Till go with the R, guess I'm stuck with the machete then, Finian muttered, picking up a huge knife.
Lucien walked up and said.
I'll take the shovel, the host couldn't help but chuckle.
You guys are like mind readers.
Since you all picked the same items, why don't you team up?
The rest of the tools will go to the other team. The items were quickly sorted out. Odalise picked the knife, Freya grabbed the rope. Stellan chose the water gun, and Sela grabbed the pepper spray.
Once everything was sanated, the host added, you'll be on the island for 2 weeks.
Your main task is to find food. If your team can find enough food every day, the winning team will get S-level resources from Silverline Entertainment.
At the mention of Silverline Entertainment, the room went dead silent. Silverline Entertainment was one of the most elite companies in the industry. They had the best connections, the best resources, most of the biggest stars came from there. Landing SS-level resources from Silverline was like getting a golden ticket straight into the A-list. Sophia's eyes lit up, and she gripped the stun gun like it was the key to her future.
All right, time to board the boat.
The host announced, and the crowd went wild, cheering for their favorite stars. The noise was deafening. The group boarded the boat, while Kenny and the rest of the crew scrambled to finish gemming everything ready. Odalise got up to use the bathroom, and when she came back out, she found herself cornered at the door. Atlas was standing there, his face tight with fury, his eyes cold as he glared at her.
Henry says you need to make sure Sophia wins this show, he said, his voice ice cold.
You're gonna help her snag the top spot and secure those Silverline Entertainment resources.
Got it?
If you play along and help her, we might let you go permanent.
Otherwise, when your contract's up, don't expect us to renew it, Atlas warned, his tone sharp as a knife.
Chapter 17. Odalise let out a short, mocking laugh, her eyes narrowing as she looked Atlas up and down,
like she was sizing up something pathetic. That face, once so handsome and full of charm, now struck her as sinister, almost reptilian, oozing malice. How the hell did I not see this before? She thought, disgust curling in her chest. Seriously? You care about her that much? She said, her tone sharp and biting. Then do it your damn self. You think everyone's lining up to kiss your ass and work for your precious family company? Newsflash, Atlas, they're not. I broke my back for you for 7 months, and what did I get? Not a single penny. She stepped closer, her words hitting harder. You treat people like slaves. 3 months is the max for a probation period, but you made it eight months just to wring every ounce of free labor out of us. You call that an opportunity? Keep it. I'm done. Don't waste your breath trying to drag me back. With that, she turned and walked away, her heels clicking against the floor with finality. Arliss stood there, frozen, like had just been slapped in the face. His jaw tightened as he stared at her retreating figure, his mind struggling to keep up. Wait. Odalise, stop, he barked, anger flaring as he chased after her. But the second he got close, she spun around and delivered a brutal kick straight to his chest. Boom. The impact sent him reeling backward, his feet tangling as he crashed into the restroom door. He let out a strangled grunt, clutching his chest as he doubled over. His face contorted in pain and humiliation as he tried to catch his breath. Try that shit with me again, Odalise said coldly, her voice as sharp as a blade, and I'll show you what real trouble looks like. Her glare could have frozen fire, and for a second, Atlas didn't dare move. Only when she turned on her heel and stormed off did he let out a shaky breath. Fury churned inside him, his fists clenching so tight his knuckles fumed white. Asterisk, she's fucking crazy. He muttered, stomping a foot in frustration. His eyes flicked down to his shirt, where the dusty tie outline of a footprint screamed back at him. A shiver ran through him. If that kick had been just an inch lower. Before he could stew any longer, a familiar voice broke the silence. Well, what do we have here? Stellan's amused drawl carried from the restroom doorway. He leaned casually against the frame, his trademark smirk in full effect. Atlas, my man, you training for a kung fu competition or something? Need me to be your sparring partner? Stellan's sharp eyes drifted to the footprint on Odd's chest, and his smirk widened. Atlas forced out a stiff, awkward laugh. No need, thanks. I'm good, suit yourself, Stellan replied with a shrug, clearly enjoying the show. Just don't overdo it, yeah. You'll need your strength for the island. Trust me. His words had just enough edge to set Atlas' teeth on edge, but he knew better than to push back. Stellan wasn't just a superstar actor, he had connections, deep ones, the kind one didn't mess with. Grinding his teeth, Atlas stormed back to the deck, his mood worsening by the second. His eyes landed on Sophia, who was lounging against the railing, letting the ocean breeze play with her hair. Finian Lark hovered nearby, snapping photo after photo with his phone. Sophia wasn't holding back, either. She arched her back just enough to show off her gur, then leaned forward, her low-cut dress teasing more than a little. A sultry sway of her hips followed, and with a flirtatious flick of her wrist, she lifted the hem of her skin, revealing her smooth, impossibly long legs. The camera operator, ever the professional, stayed locked on her every move, capturing it all. The live stream chat exploded in real time. JOMG, Sophia is so hot. Look at those legs, she's a literal goddess. I need to hit the gym ASAP. Okay, but is it just me, or is she laying it on a bit thick? Like, who's all this for? Sophia. Girl, save some for the OnlyFans, damn, then someone noticed Atlas lurking in the background, and the tone shifted. Wait, is that Atlas? Hell yeah, sibling content incoming. Their chemistry is gold.
245 Chapter 17 Is that a footprint on his shirt? Did someone kick him? Drama alert. Who had the balls to mess with Atlas on this yacht? Spill the bran. Speculation ran wild, the chat buzzing with theories and hot takes. The mysterious footprint turned into a spectacle, adding a juicy layer of tension to the already chaotic scene. On the other side, just as Odalise was about to take a sip of water, Freya leaned in, propping her chin on her hand as she eyed her up and down with a mischievous grin. What's up with your Odalise? Shot her a suspicious glance. Freya blinked, her eyes sparkling with curiosity. She even got up and circled Odalise a couple of times before leaning in closer and whispering, "Hold up Odalise, you've got muscles. Wait, do you have ALS hidden under there?" Before Odalise could react, Freya was practically on top of her. ABS on a girl? That's hot. Seriously, I can't stop thinking about it. Every time I eat, I just wanna plop on the couch and dir. Freya's voice dropped to a low, excited whisper. Come let me see your ABS. The fans in the live chat were all over it. God. Freya's totally losing her mind over this. Wait, does she really have ABS? I need to see that too. Odalise looked at Freya, who was practically drooling, then casually reached out to tilt her chin up. Leaning in close, she whispered in her ear, only the ABS? Or do you wanna see the V-line too? Just then, Stellan walked over, overhearing their playful banter. He couldn't help but laugh. Damn, are all you women without missing a bear? Freya grabbed an apple from the table and shoved it into his mouth. Here, have an apple, Sela, she named quietly nearby, glanced around nervously, clearly unsure whether she should join in. And this hot. Now I'm interested. She had only debuted with two songs in her girl group, and she still wasn't firmly established in the industry. She was terrified of saying something wrong and offending someone, especially with Stellan and Freya being major stars. Stellan leaned in close to Odalise Stone as he sat down next to her, his voice lean. Damn, your kick is insane. The photographer was a bit far off, adjusting the camera, so the audience couldn't hear their conversation. Odalise raised an eyebrow and gave him a side eye but didn't answer. It was obvious that Stellar had seen her kick Atlas Carlier. But Odalise didn't feel guilty about it at all. She didn't care about the setting, she only cared about her mood. Atlas needed a lesson, and if she didn't give it to him, he'd just keep pushing. A good smackdown would probably keep him cool. Long as he didn't make trouble, she wouldn't bother him. But if he did? She'd happily break his legs. Wait, did my bony just whisper something to Odalise? I'm dying to know what they said. Odalise is totally flirting with Freya. I love this girl-on-girl action, I need to see the V-line. Low one. Freya just shoved an apple in Stellan's mouth. If they weren't on a boat, would they have thrown down? Quiet for a while. As the fans were going wild in the comments, clearly shocked to see their idols acting so different from their usual public personas. On the boat, they all seemed so much more relaxed. 2 hours later, the boat finally docked, and the crew began unloading the equipment. Suddenly, Odalise's expression changed. She quickly turned and made her way toward the director, Kenny Mr. Murphy, she called out softly. Kenny was talking with the camera crew. When he heard his name, he quickly stubbed out his cigarette and leaned in. What's up? I think the weather's about to, we might get some wind tonight, Odalise said quietly. Kenny glanced up at the clear sky and asked. You sure about that? Not an expert, but I've got a feeling. We're close to the sea, and if the wind picks up, it could get dangerous, she replied, keeping her voice low. As soon as she finished, a laugh rang out nearby, followed by the unmistakable sway of someone's hips. The strong scent of perfume hit Odalise like a brick, and she instinctively frowned. Chapter 18. Sophia raised a eyebrow, clearly unconvinced. Vinter just saying the wind's gonna pack up, check the weather lar for I came here.
My brother even called the weather bureau to double check. They said clear skies for the next 2 weeks, not a storm, 'tis parallage takes, nothing. It's about as safe as it gets. She pulled out her phone and handed it so Kermy, look, Harris, the confirmation from the weather bureau. As she spoke, she angled the phone so the cameraman could catch the screen, making sure everyone saw the info. Kenny glanced at it, then cleared his throat. Well, if the weather bureau says everything's fine, then it should be. Had if Odalis feels something's off, we should stay a light. Better sail than sorry. He turned to the crew and called out, all right, everyone, stay sharp. If the weather changes, we need to be ready. We can't take any chances. Sophia's grip on her phone tightened. She thought calling our Odalis would embarrass her and make Sophia look good in front of everyone. But instead of getting flustered, Odalis stayed Cal Colin, and Kenny actually took her seriously. That was enough to make Sophia absolutely livy, her fists clenched, but with the cameras rolling, she forced a take smile. Yeah, being cautious is never a bad thing. She reached out to grab Odalis' arm, but Odalis just turned and walked away without a second glance, leaving Sophia hanging. Her eyes burned with irritation as she watched Odalis walk off. Meanwhile, the live stream was blowing up with comments. What's Odalis doing? Is she ignoring Sophia on purpose? JAC list actress acting all high and mighty. Gross, no wonder she doesn't even have a Twitter. She's probably too scared of Jeaning roasted by trolls. Honestly, island weather is unpredictable. Sophia's right to be cautious. Better safe than sorry. I'm with Odalis on this. Onal Kenny glanced at the live comments, then up at the sky, thinking. If the weather does turn, that actually work in our favor. A little drama means moat views. Just as long as no one dies, of course. He kept that to himself, though didn't need anyone hearing that. Not far off, Freya waved at Odalis, who was coming off the boat. Odalis, over here. Sela stepped forward, eager to help. Freya, let me grouse that for you. Freya smiled, waving her off. It's fine, really. I don't have much. I got it. Stellan followed quietly behind, carrying his own things. Odalis, effortlessly carrying her bag and pulling her suitcase, walked off the boat like it was nothing. In contrast, Sophia was taking tiny steps, carefully followed by Atlas, who was hugging her bags, and Finian, who was holding her makeup bag. Slow down, Atlas warned, making sure she didn't trip on her heels. Sophia strutted down the ramp, practically gliding with Atlas and Finlan in tow. Lucian followed behind, bolding her Louis Vuitton bag like it was the crown jewels. Her luggage was a mountain compared to Odalis' simple, light packing. The live chat was going wild. Some people were mucking Sophia for how extra she was with her baggage, others were jealous of the two guys doting on her. But as soon as the boat docked, their phones lost signal. They had no idea what the fans were saying. Only the crew could see the flood of Kenny followed closely behind, stopping and raising his hand, as if he were making some kind of grand proclamation. He said, "All right, listen up, people. Hey, race the deal. You're gonna be split into two teams of four. From this point on, you'll be living on the island on your own. Surviving, that's on you. No help from the production team. You've got your brains and your guts, that's all you've got to rely on. January 2nd, two halves, chapter 18 of yourselves. The camera crew will be with you, but no matter what shit goes down, we're staying neutral. We're not." Odalis brought up the pobling of wind, even though the weather forecast says it's all clear. Stay sharp, safety first, all right? Kicking of this challenge now. From this moment on, your phones are useless. You won't be able to internal network set up. I've created a group chat, so if you need anything, hit us up there. Bed speaking, the crew scattered, moving off to the Vidi band, Stam trekking down the mouth path leading further into the island. The path was decent at first, but it quickly became mething straight out of a jungle. Island. This looks like a damn jungle.
No sign of any development here. Alice said, his voice filled with disbelief. Em hadn't sold anyone which island they were on. Everyone thought it would be some luxury resort, but the scene before them was anything but a vacation spot. A chill ran down their spines. Sad's practically gone? Was rapidly slipping. The hell are we supposed to get through this? Sophia asked, looking around in confusion. Her earlier composure being adopted by the Bennett family, she'd been pampered and had never really experienced hardship. Even on set, there was always locking out for her ID Untamed Jungle, she instinctively pulled herself invisibly freaked out. Everyone, throw on your jacket, we're gonna get eaten alive by mosquitoes, Odalie said quietly, already putting on a sun protection jacket she had prepared. Freya and Sela followed suit, quickly pulling out their jackets, and Stellan did the same, dressing quickly. Is this really necessary? Fanlark muttered to himself, frustration seeping into his tone. Odalise hadn't looked at him once all day. It was like they were strangers. He couldn't forget the slap she'd given him the night before. It still pissed she'd embarred him on purpose, and if he hadn't been quick enough, his scandal would have been all over the media. On the boat, had taken photos of Safi on purpose, deliberately getting close to her to get a rise out of Odalise. He expected her to get jealous and confront him, but she didn't say a damn word. 2 hours later, she was still stone cold silent. He felt off, but if the camera's rolling, he just had to suck it up. If the wind picks up tonight, we need to find a place to camp ASAP, Odalise warned, her voice low. If we don't, we're gonna be in deep shit. Freya quickly leaned toward her, whispering, wind. We better get a move on, then if the waves come in, we might get dragged out to sea. Yeah, just head deeper into the island, Stellan agreed, nodding quickly. Get away from the shore. Sela instinctively glanced over at Lurien, but he was looking anywhere but at her. He was focused on Sophia, and then said, Miss Bennett, why don't you wear my jacket? He handed it over with a polite smile, the kind that made it clear he wasn't exactly doing it out of charity. Chapter 19. Sophia glanced at the clothes he handed her, her iris flicking over King over the low-key logo before a flash of distaste quickly crossed her ex. She masked it with a cool stool. Keep it, she said casually, her tone firm but polite. I've got a jacket on me. I'll throw it on later. As she spoke, she tilted her head just slightly, giving the camera a picture-perfect side profile. The camera zoomed in, capturing the delicate line of her jaw, the effortless glance back she gave, and the subtle, almost childlike innocence in her. The maid audience in the live stream went wild, their cheers echoing in the chat. Gordon. She's an elage plus. Is Odalise trying to steal the spotlight? Seeing how gorgeous Sophia looks, Odalise probably had someone bring her a jacket to outdo her. Is it really going to be windy tonight? These people don't seem prepared at all. What if something goes wrong with the weather? Some fans were swooning over Sophia's beauty, while others were concerned about her safety. The show was now at the center of public debate. With everyone voicing their opinions, but the guests had no idea what was going on in the live stream. Take it easy, slow down a bit, Lucian said quietly, watching Sophia. His eyes were a mix of nervousness and, if you looked closely, a hint of greed. He was new to the game, and standing out in a group full of big names was tough. Being on a variety show was a huge opportunity, and meeting stars like these. That was a once-in-a-lifetime chance. There were rumors that Sophia Bennett was the heiress of the Bennett Group, though it was never confirmed. But her connections were top-notch. On top of that, her brother Atlas was a popular singer, and Finnan was a hotshot actor. Both were fiercely protective of her. Anyone who could close to her was bound to go places. Take it easy, Sophia. Atlas said, noticing her discomfort. He stepped forward, gently pushing Lucian aside, and wrapped his arm around her waist, pulling her close. The path ahead was full of thorny h seen anything like it thorny bushes, wild grass, and branches with sharp thorns. Sophia, who
who had been pampered her whole life, had never her face turned a little darker with annoyance, but she pushed through, trying to smile.
"Tin fine, Atlas.
Really?
I got this," she said, leaning even closer to him.
Atlas, instantly, tightened his hold on her. But as he turned, a thorny branch came at them. Protecting her, he moved quickly, not realizing his arm had been scratched.
"Ouch," Atlas hissed, looking down in surprise as his arm bled, the thorns embedded deep into his skin. Blood began to drip, and he frowned, trying to swat away the branches. But another thorn jabbed into his hand.
"Atlas, what's wrong?"
she cried, her voice filled with panic. She reached out, wanting to help, but instead, she pressed herself even closer to Herdy. Seeing her distressed, Atlas quickly pulled her into his arms, his voice soft but reassuring.
"It's nothing, just a little scratch.
It'll be fine, don't worry." He held her even tighter, wrapping her securely in his embrace. Sophia instinctively wrapped her legs around his waist, holding him steady, while he cupped her backside with one hand, keeping her close as he hurried forward. The position was undeniably intimate, but neither of them seemed to care or even notice.
"Come on, move it,"
Finian called, quickening his pace. Lucian followed closely behind. The three men had scratches on their faces and arms, but Sophia was unharmed, completely protected. When Atlas finally set her down, she immediately grabbed his arm, checking the wound with concern.
"Don't cry.
I'm fine," Atlas said, though he was clearly in pain. Seeing her eyes welling up, he gently caressed her face.
"What the hell's going on here?
She's got her legs around her brother's waist. This feels a little off. They're just siblings, but you guys are the ones making it weird.
You've got a dirty mind if that's what you think.
This whole group is giving off some seriously weird vibes.
Am I the only one who thinks this feels like a four-piece situation? Poor Sophia. She's so spoiled.
This must be terrifying for her, she's probably freaking out." The live chat was exploding with comments, many questioning the relationship between Sophia and Atlas, while fans rushed to defend them. The conversation was a mess of arguments and heated debates.
"Should we just go around it?"
Freya asked, her voice hesitant as she stared at the thick tangle of thorns ahead. The sharp pricks made her uneasy. Her nerves starting to get the best of her.
"This path is the shortcut to the safety center," Odalise replied in a low voice, urgency in her tone.
"We need to get into the woods and find a safe spot before nightfall.
Things could get really ugly if we don't move fast." She quickly grabbed the knife from the supplies the crew had given them, and without missing a beat, she stepped forward, determination in her. Everyone watched in shock as Odalise casually tossed the knife into the air, catching it effortlessly. With one swift motion, she slashed through the branches and weeds. A quick flick of her wrist cleared the thorns, and with a sharp kick, she sent them flying off to the side. It was effortless, smooth, like she'd done this 100 times.
"What the hell is going on with that other group? Didn't the producers hand out tools to everyone? Why are they charging through with a Damon kitchen knife and a shovel?
LOL, they've got knives and are still getting scratched up?
That's pathetic.
Am I the only one who thinks Odalise is straight up haters?
She's calm, smart, and totally got her shit together."
Seeing Odalise in action, Freya and Stellan quickly pulled out their own tools and joined in, hacking at the underbrush. Sela followed close behind. The four of them made it through the thorns in no time, easily passing Sophia's group. The difference was clear. Sophia's team looked like they'd been through a battle, their arms covered in blood, while Odalise and her team were gliding through like it was nothing.
"Why didn't you say something earlier, if you knew you could clear the thorns?"
Atlas shot at Odalise, his eyes blazing. He was in pain, his arm throbbing, and the cuts on his face were starting to itch like crazy. Watching Odalise slice through the thorns with ease was driving him insane.
That's when it clicked. He and his team had tools too, they just forgot to use them.
He felt a heavy frustration building in his chest, nearly choking him. Well, anyone with half a brain would have cleared the thorns first, but you decided to charge in like an idiot. And honestly, it's just a couple of scratches, they'll heal. Quit whining, Odalis said, barely sparing him a glance. The cuts weren't deep, and they'd stop bleeding soon enough. Atlas was about to argue, but Sophia grabbed his arm, stopping him. She spoke quietly, "Atlas, don't." She probably just remembered, okay. She didn't do it on purpose. Her words were full of sarcasm, and Odalis caught it, unable to hold back a laugh. She turned to Sophia, smirking and raised an eyebrow. "Actually, I did it on purpose." Sophia froze, eyes wide. She saw the cameras behind her and bit her lip, tears welling up in her eyes. She quickly turned her face away, her tears pouring as she sobbed silently, still trying to hold back the frustration with a stubborn clenched jaw. Deliz couldn't care less. With a roll of her eyes, she took a quick look around, then kept walking her steps steady. Thanks to their lightweight gear, they were quickly pulling ahead of the others, heading deeper into the woods. Chapter 20. Priva exclaimed, Bay voice bubbling with excitement as she practically skipped to catch up. Her face lit up with awe and her eyes sparkled with admiration. Vid thought she was pretty cool, but this standing up to Sophia Bennett and her mean girl posse? That took was like karma in action. After all, she and Sophia had been mortal enemies forever, and suddenly stopped, spinning around to fix Freya with a sharp look. Her Pyeongsang gaze was so intense in doing something dumb Suni tense like it weighed a ton, dropped it with an audible thud and doubled over, panting. Her pale face was flushed everything a fine. See mouth then she noticed Stellan and Sela exchanging weird looks, their faces stiff like they were trying not to matend. Shaking in hispered. Oking at me like that? She demanded, her voice tinged with irritation. Do I have something on my face or what? She shed around in her back for a minor. Strange, ting-gong sensation crawled up her legs. She froze, her blood turning to ice. Staring at her legs with a deadpan expression slowly, Freya looked down and nearly passed out. Wrapped Nike, his body coating upward like it owned the place. Voice trembling. The snake raised its head as if it had heard her and flicked its tongue in a slow, taunting motion. Oh my god, awake. There's a fucking snake on me, she screamed, her voice shooting up several octaves. My time group into motion. Into motion. The other contestants came running, their curiosity quickly turning to horror. Meanwhile, the Ist, zoomed in for a close-up her use her tire body trembling like a leaf in the wind, sweat poured down her forehead as if she'd just run a marathon. The fear hussed and raised its head higher before lunging straight for her face. Grabbing a stick from the ground and sprinting toward her like a man on a mission. Sela was right behind him. Aside Priva out of the way if it came in that. Nov. Her legs felt glued to the ground, and her brain screamed at her to run, but nothing happened. She could only watch an Ike darted toward her tongue ticking inches from her nose. Cut through the air. The snake's body jerked violently, and it fell to the ground, writhing. Freya gasped as the creature was and pinned to a tree by a gleaming knife, its blood splattering against the bark standing beside her, her tone calm but her eyes scanning Freya for injuries. Forca bonked up at too stunned to respond. Slowly, she touched her cheek where the snake's tail had slapped her. Her fingers trembled as her chucked from Odalis to the snake, still wriggling but securely pinned she stammered, her voice cracking tears welled in her eyes as the memory of the snake coiling around her leg sent fresh waves of go-burr. Her karna wobbled and she felt like the might collapse any second. I am a miss. Odalis said casually, as if she hadn't just saved Freya's life in the most cinematic way possible. She strode over to the tree. A swift motion, chopped the snake into pieces. Kicking the remains aside, she turned back to Freya 12 soft Verfiria the Yud, her face twisted in hairily contained rage. She'd been relishing Phi Mylated or one.
but Odalise had to step in and ruin everything. Freya's freakout, convinced this was finally clenched her fans so hard her nails dug into her palms. She'd despised Freya ever since she snagged the lead role. Sophia had been out of the picture, everything would have fallen perfectly into place. Gunning Roe had destroyed her plans. Sophia's jaw tightened as she shot Odalise a glare sharp enough to cut glass. Why did she have to play hero? And why, did she have to save Freya? She thought bitterly. 2:46 p.m. Chapter 20. It was like the was hell-bent on making Sophia's life miserable. Thanks. Freya's voice came out shaky as she clutched Odalis' arm like a lifeline. Her grip was tight, her fear obvious, but she managed to muster those words even as her knees threatened to buckle. Odalis glanced at her and smirked, her sharp gaze softening just enough to make room for amusement. She reached out and gently wiped the lingering tears from Freya's cheek. What's this afraid of snakes? Asterisk. Her tone was teasing, laced with a calm that only made Freya feel smaller. If you're that scared, you've got to toughen up. I'll show you a real snake later. You might as well leam to deal with. I see what. Freya's head snapped up, her wide, tear-streaked eyes locking onto Odalise. Are you kidding me? Her voice cracked somewhere between disbelief and outright panic. Odalise chuckled under her breath, giving Freya's nose a playful flick. Relax, crybaby, let's keep moving. She clapped her on the shoulder and turned away, striding ahead like nothing had happened. Behind them, Stellan and Sela were frozen, their arms still raised with makeshift weapons they hadn't gotten a chance to use. Sheepish looks before finally lowering their hands. Damn, Stellan muttered, his tone half admiring, half defeated. She's on another level. Let's go. Without waiting for a reply, he stepped forward, saying a brisk pace. They exchanged. Freya, still visibly shaken, barely noticed Stellan reach down and grab her suitcase along with his own. Sela hesitated, then stepped closer, her voice low and careful. Freya, you okay? Need a hand? Freya nodded quickly, her voice failing her. Yeah, thanks, she whispered, leaning into Sela's steady arm. The group fell into a rhythm, with Odalise leading the charge. Stellan trailed behind her, carrying both suitcases with ease, while Sela kept a protective grip on Freya. No one wanted to linger in the eerie silence of the forest. The sooner they were out, the better. Pick up the pace. Finian called from behind, his voice tinged with impatience. He was juggling Sophia's huggage, his earlier cockiness long gone. The forest was unnerving. Every sound, leaves rustling, twigs snapping, set his nerves on edge. The deeper they went, the more it felt like the place was alive, watching them. His confidence wavered with every step. He glanced at Odalise ahead, her calm, measured strides cutting through the chaos. She didn't look fazed in the slightest, and for a moment, he felt a flicker of respect. She'd grown up in the mountains that much had heard. Unlike the rest of them, she actually belonged here. Ah! A sharp cry from behind snapped him out of his thoughts. He turned to find Sophia wincing, one hand gripping her ankle. What's wrong now? He asked, his frustration barely masked by concern. Just a rock, Sophia said quickly, brushing herself off. I stepped on one wrong. Let's go. We'll lose sight of them if we don't hurry. She bit her lip, pushing through the pain with an air of forced resilience. Atlas, soul pale from the snake incident, silently quickened his pace. The image of the snake lunging at Freya had shaken him more than he cared to admit. Lucian brought up the rear, his sharp eyes darting around as if he expected something to jump out at any second. The production crew followed a short distance behind, their earlier carelessness replaced by cautious steps. The cameras never wavered, capturing every tense moment. They'd split into two teams to keep both groups in frame, ensuring the live stream stayed as dramatic as possible. The live chat was blowing up, a chaotic storm of opinions flying in every direction. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with this production team? They didn't even clear the trail.
They knew there were snakes out here and didn't bother to warn anyone. Poor Freya must have been scared shitless. Honestly, with all that screaming, who even knows if it was real? What if the snake was just a prop they planted for drama?
Fake.
Nah, no way. I just rewatched that part a bunch of times. That snake was 100% real. Plus, it's a live stream. How the hell would they fake something like that? Did anyone else notice how calm Odalise was? Like, girl didn't something one flinch. She looked like she's been out the wild her whole life, or Sophia is over here acting like the world's ending. She's so damn dramatic, it's embarrassing. Someone get her off my screen. In Odalise came in and slept stop, her eyes sconting T evergrown nail alid the shed lie glide this there, she said, posting that's a case. If the wind PBKS up to Nigla, well need to skur then Turi not hope would hold a peend.